It is time for you to become more conscious of your relationships with other living beings. Today, I will speak about your relationships with animals. You are now being challenged to grow into more of your true natures as humans, to learn to inhabit yourselves fully and be the divine beings that you are, having these human experiences. Humans have evolved collectively on most parts of the earth, in most cultures, to think of animals as different from themselves. As your societies have evolved and you have explored more your conception of your true nature, your idea of who you are, one result in many places on your planet is that animals are perceived to be yet another natural resource to be used for your benefit. This teaching I will share with you today is intended to support you in a course correction regarding your conception of, your attitudes about, and your treatment of animals, your relationship with them. From some of your religious doctrines, you have evolved into considering yourselves, humans, as above animals, as better than any other animals. Some of you consider it your right to place yourself, to place humanity at the top of a hierarchy. That thinking is based on your judgments that come from your perceptions of consciousness. As you are now being invited to evolve your level of consciousness, you are being asked to open to see yourselves in new ways, to understand yourselves as energetic beings. Inevitably, when you do this, which many of you are, you begin to see other beings as energetic beings as well. This is natural for this stage of your evolution. This is appropriate. When you submit to your process of evolution, when you surrender to your evolutionary path, which eventually you will do if you intend it, what you find in the beings surrounding you, these beings will seem just like people. The truth of the situation with animals on your planet is that just as you choose to be incarnated as a human in order to fulfill certain karmic contracts based in love, your true nature, your true essence, animals choose to be incarnated in their particular bodies, in their particular forms, in the same precise way, for the same precise reasons, to support the journeys of their souls. Some of you observe animals to be just like you, and you are no longer able to kill them in order to eat them, or to purchase their flesh as food from your grocery store. There is currently on Earth much tension and anger and fear surrounding how animals are treated, especially in industrialized nations. This is a very rich topic. The first thing to explore is that just as you have chosen to incarnate as a human, with your soul's plan happening to fit with the particular moment that you were born, and the particular way that moment, which is you and your energetic signature as a human, unfolds over the course of your life, animals have chosen their paths for exactly the same reasons. For an animal to incarnate here, in this place now, there is a knowledge of the soul, by the soul, possessing this knowledge, that certain kinds of animals are routinely raised, kept alive, fed, and fattened in order to be killed for the express purpose of feeding people. This is intentional. As you as a collective evolve your understanding of who you really are, you will naturally explore eating each other, valuing some of you over others of you, picking certain kinds of beings as beings you will have living in your home with you, sleeping at the foot of your bed, and other beings you will keep crowded in corrals with the express purpose of sending them to slaughter eventually and eating them. The beings that incarnate as those animals know this. Your task is not to be outraged at the loss of life. Your task is not to indulge in sadness and grief for what these animals choose to experience. Your task is to evolve yourself into choosing consciousness of energy, of yourself as an energetic being, of how you create the world around you, and how others create the world around themselves. These beings who incarnate as animals intended to be food, they come here with the intention of feeding others. The karmic journeys of these beings are served. Their souls' missions are served by being part of the presently structured food chain existing on your planet. If you choose to be an activist, to fight, to protest the eating, the killing of animals. Understand your motivations. Learn to see the existing process and structures of these worldwide systems. Through your spiritual eyes and not simply your human eyes. Having an emotional reaction to the widespread slaughter of animals is a natural human emotional response. People who have this response feel that we are all connected, but they are more conscious of feeling that connection to all of life than others might be. This emotional reaction, this fear, this anger, is natural and normal. People, humans, who experience this and who choose to boycott the eating of animals and who choose to fight in some way the raising and slaughtering of these animals for food are also fulfilling their karmic missions. Their soul's journeys are benefited, whatever the theme of their learning is, whether it is about self-empowerment, whether it is about developing, standing up for, and expressing a strong sense of morality, developing a moral compass, whether it is learning to honor life and to stand up for other beings. There is a wide range of possible themes. The other side of this is that there are those of them, those of you, who are opposed to this way of using animals and eating them, killing and eating them, because you are conscious of the widespread effects on your planet of these industries and this way of living. So one issue is the fact that these beings incarnate with the understanding that they will be killed to be eaten. They incarnate with a willingness to serve this purpose for the rest of us. This purpose serves us in several ways. First, there is the element of nutrition. Even if you disagree, as an individual, that sort of nutrition is important and necessary, there is a fact that that is food. Separately, you are learning about how to treat each other. You are learning how to love each other more. You are learning how to get better at loving yourselves and loving each other. As part of your process to evolve your level of consciousness involves ultimately recognizing these other beings, non-human animals, as just like you, it is natural for you to engage in behaviors that cannot recognize that, and that do not take into account they are beings just like you, until you realize they are beings just like you. Many times, so far, in human history, especially in the age of industrialization, and the post-industrial age you are now struggling to find your footing in, as the industry of raising animals to slaughter and eat them has become a major part of your economies. When individuals do wake up to the fact that these beings are just like you are, a primary response is outrage, anger, sadness, grief. This sort of set of emotions is the primary response. And that is viewing the violence and the perceived injustice through your human eyes. Today I invite you to look at the situation through your spiritual eyes. And while you find parts of yourselves being angry and hurt and outraged, learn how to become centered and grounded enough to recognize also the truth that this is part of the plan. That this way, the ways these industries function, and the ways consumers purchase these products, which are the flesh of other beings just like you, that system is a part of the unfolding of the divine plan. And at this time, as you learn about yourself more as an energetic being, and as you learn about others as energetic beings, it is now time for you to shift perspective. For some of you, this will mean changing your relationship with food, what it is that you are willing to eat. As you tap into these truths, and you begin to recognize what part of you has always known, that these other beings are just like you, some of you will stop some of your eating habits. Others of you will open to this truth, that the beings that incarnate as these animals intended to be eaten are doing a service to you, not only in food, in being nutrition, but also in you along your process of evolution, exploring what it means to be an energetic being having a physical experience. Some of you who have woken up to the reality that these beings are just like you will not be able to be around their flesh prepared as food to consume. Some of you will be able to sense the energy, either of the fear that animal experienced, that energetic residue being retained in the flesh, or you will be able to tap into their spirits simply by being around this food product that was part of their physical vehicle. Learn to manage your sensitivity. Learn to ground yourself. Learn to manage yourself as an energetic being. Experience these things. Be willing to experience these things, and yet allow them to be. Choose to learn how to not react. Observe the truth of these situations, the truths of these situations. There is no concrete, black and white, objective truth about eating animals or not eating animals. There is no should or should not that is carved in stone somewhere that you should follow. This choice is an individual choice. Some of your bodies cannot function well without eating the flesh of other bodies. Some of your bodies work perfectly fine without eating the flesh of other beings' bodies. This is an individual reality. It is not even a choice. What I would like for you to do, what I, as an ascended master who is committed to supporting you in whatever way you need in order to unfold yourself as the divine being that you are about to remember that you truly are, what I invite you to do is to tune in to what your body tells you about the foods you eat. Getting connected, reconnected to your body, gets you reconnected to the earth, which leads you to being able, to having the capacity, to experience yourselves as the divine beings you are having human experiences. This is critical. Get in your body. Know your body as an extension of the earth. The earth holds you here. She cradles you while you are incarnated in this physical body, which is an extension of her physical body. Connecting with your body does involve the challenge, the reality, the inevitability of feeling all the kinds of feelings you can feel. But this is necessary. The channel Seth refers to this going through history as emotional archaeology. We like this phrase. It really paints a picture of what the process is like. You actually have no idea how deep you will have to dig to find what you are looking for. When you are beginning digging at a site, an archaeological site, and you go very carefully through layers, and you find a little thing embedded in the dirt. You very gently brush the dust off of it, surrounding it, so that you can unearth it, leaving it intact. This process, going through your emotions, as Seth refers to it as emotional archaeology, will lead you to connect with your body, which will be connecting to the earth. You're a mother. That connection enables you to understand yourself as a spiritual being, to experience yourself in your fullness. Now, when you get there, you are very conscious of what your body says about what you eat. Some of you have been refusing to eat meat for energetic, emotional, moral, political reasons. Some of you do need to eat the flesh of the beings. Some of you do who have refused to. Your invitation to, as part of your evolution as a spiritual being now, is to honor the messages of your body over your moral, political, and ideological objections. There is a reality that your body can teach you about that has nothing to do with your ideologies. And that reality is connecting you to the earth as an extension of the earth, experiencing your body as an extension of nature, so that you can fully inhabit yourself as a spiritual being, which is where you are headed, which is what we are committed to supporting you in realizing. For those of you whose bodies ask to eat meat of one kind or another, you will have to overcome objections from very loud inner parts of yourselves. So you will do this. You will honor what your body says it needs. This vehicle should not be thought of as a hindrance to your experience. This vehicle enables your experience. A soul cannot learn its lessons if it is choosing to come to this dimension, this time-space, earth plane. It cannot learn outside of the body. When your bodies die, and your spirit, your soul separates from it, you have the capacity and the opportunity to gain wisdom about all of your experiences, why your relationships were the way they were, why certain people in your life were important teachers, and how you can be grateful for what they taught you as a soul. And yet, as they have this wisdom, they cannot process these emotions. They cannot process their karma. They must be embodied in order to do this. You, humans, must be embodied. So your invitation is to develop wisdom of your multidimensional nature while you are in a body. And some of your bodies, as I said, will want you to eat the flesh of other beings. I'm saying it that way very intentionally. Several times I have said the word meat, and yet more often I have said this phrase, the flesh of other beings. I do this to nudge you into observing your reactions to that image. What you think you are as humans, what you have come to think you are, does not seem to fit, does not seem to work with this image of eating the flesh of a being who is like you. It will seem to some as though cannibalism, which the vast majority of you are in very deep ways terrified, identifying as a being that would engage in cannibalism is horrifying to many of you, the vast majority of you. So I use this phrase, eating the flesh of another being just like you, to bring that fear that you have into awareness. I can assure you that that fear has been seated on very deep levels in your ancient past, your history that you do not presently have access to remembering. And yet, you are triggered by this. Your fear is brought up. You are triggered into fearful reaction when you hear this. So as I invite you to alter, to essentially revolutionize your relationship with animals as food and your conception of who these beings are, why they are here, what they are experiencing, and revolutionize your perception of what impact their experience has on them and the planet, you must deal with this ancient, deep-seated fear of eating others and being eaten by others. This is sourced, for your information, what humans call the last great ice age, which occurred around 9,500 years of your before your common era, which at the time of this recording, approximately 11,500 years ago, from the perspective of being within the Earth timeline, when the vast majority of life on Earth was killed, and the survivors had to do very difficult things in order to survive. Some of this involved cannibalism. This is one of the reasons why you are terrified of this idea. It is time for you to heal this. It is time for you to make peace with whatever has happened in any of your lives, in any of the chapters that you have lived on the Earth timeline in this dimension. And it is time for you to release this from your cellular memory so that you might fully inhabit yourselves as divine beings by being willing to fully inhabit your body as an extension of the Earth, as an extension of nature. So who are these beings who incarnate in order to be eaten? As I have said, they are just like you. They are portions of the divine coming to Earth to incarnate, to inhabit a body temporarily from the perspective of being within the Earth timeline, of being within this dimension, in order to learn about that experience, in order to be of service to others, even if it appears that, or is true that, others are not serving them well by using these beings, by consuming them, by participating at one end or the other of the industries to raise animals in this way for food. And these beings are just like you. It is entirely probable that all of you have participated in this process to come to Earth to be of service as food. It is more than likely that you have also experienced this, which means that you have experienced violence. You have experienced feeling disempowered. You have experienced being a part of an industry where you have no say in how your life unfolds. If you are eating meat, if your body says, continue doing this, or I have not done this in a while, but the body says, do this, return to eating the flesh of these other beings for your nutrition. Be very conscious of the energetic profile of that product. How those animals are treated during their lives, and what they are fed, and what they drink, and how their living quarters are organized, and how they are treated in general, affects the quality of their flesh. Just like you, they are what they eat. If you are drawn to eating the flesh of these beings, ensure it is from a clean source, even if that means spending more money. Buy it in the structures in place now on Earth. It is called organic. It is grass-fed. It is free-range. These are the products to choose if your body is calling for them. Do not buy it in any supermarket. As you become more sensitive to energy, as you inhabit yourself more as an energetic being, you will not be able to, for instance, go into any grocery store and walk up to the meat section and be in that space. The energy will be low. The quality of the vibration will be poor. Allow your habits, your behaviors, and your choices to evolve in ways that honor what your body is telling you. Perhaps your body says, I need meat. And the first three places you go to get it, you do not feel comfortable purchasing meat there. That is okay. Wait. Check the vibration of everything you put in your body. Be aware of that vibration and make choices based in it. And if you do eat the flesh of animals, and you are going to continue to do so, be grateful to them. There are many who bless their food before they eat it. Some of them are thanking a divine source for providing this flesh for nutrition, this food. And some of them thank the animals themselves. This has the same purpose. Yet as you become more willing to recognize these beings as just like you, yet who are incarnating here to fulfill a specific purpose that includes feeding you, directly thanking those beings will support you in coming to know yourself as an energetic being. Be grateful. They came here to do this. They did not come here to experience trauma and to be part of unhealthy industries. They came here to be of service. That is why beings choose to do this. That is what I have to say about animals that you relate to by eating. Now I will speak about animals you relate to as family or housemates, pets. Primarily, the very common domesticated animals that live in your homes with you, cats and dogs. These beings are also precisely like you. They are souls. They are part of divinity, choosing to become incarnated on Earth temporarily in order to learn more about being incarnated here. These beings have the same exact intentions that you do. So they choose certain experiences. And as these kinds of beings, as these kinds of physically embodied beings, specifically dogs or cats, they have those experiences. Those experiences will fit along the thematic categories that yours do. Safety and security, respect, justice, learning to be loving and compassionate. These themes you share in common as embodied beings on the earth, as embodied portions of divinity on the earth. With all of these animals that we could talk about, their particular physiologies reflect different technologies to house consciousness. These beings are just as conscious as you are. They are just as divine. They are just as much soul. They are the same as you. And yet, for their particular experiences that they are intending to learn in any given life, the vehicles that they choose to live those themes, to explore those journeys, to gather the experiences that they seek, and to fulfill the karmic contracts that they have with other beings, other animals, including humans. The technologies of these vehicles are different. When you are willing to see that these beings are precisely the same as you, and you look into a dog's eyes, and you see soul, and then 10 minutes later you look into a cat's eyes, and you see soul, this is the same exact spiritual substance. This is the same sort of being. Yet these vehicles have different parameters, different limitations, different skills. Their central nervous systems are different. When a being such as yourself chooses to incarnate as a dog, there is a certain limit to the expression of that being's consciousness. Certain forms of communication that being can engage in while in that vehicle. And this is very different from if that same being were to choose to be a cat. These beings are precisely the same as you. It is entirely likely that you have chosen lives on Earth embodied as animals of various kinds that are not human. As you are listening to this, you are embodied as an animal that is human. The point of this teaching, one of the critical keys to this teaching, is that to know yourself as an energetic being, you must open to recognize that these other beings are the same as you. It is time for you in your evolution to surrender the judgment that humans are better, that the human mind is evolved, and that anything that is not the human mind, any mind that is not the human mind, is not as important as the human mind, as the human. It is time for you to surrender this belief. Many of you who do not actively believe it, who do not choose to embrace this, have been conditioned in very deep ways over many lives by this assumption from the human mind. It is time for you now to evaluate what it is that you think, perceive, and judge about animals who happen not to be human. It is time for your mind to open to understand the truth of this. And it is time for you to experience yourself in a certain way that actually leads to and requires experiencing these other beings in the same way. What makes you divine is not your capacity for speech. It is not the physical, anatomical, physiological reality of your opposable thumb. Being bipedal does not make you better. Strategizing and planning does not get you closer to your divine nature. Understanding the kind of being that you truly are is. And in order to really grasp that, you must relate to animals in new ways. These animals that live in your homes with you, it is a certainty in each case that they have agreed to be in your homes to provide certain sorts of support for your evolution, for how you live and are intending to evolve. This is a guarantee. If you have one of these domesticated animals living with you, you and that animal have a contract at the soul level. Your beings, the beings that you are, the portions of divinity that you are, have formulated karmic contracts so that each of you may be furthered in your mission of learning what it is to live on Earth in this dimension in physical bodies. When we speak about these animals, it is also important to make sure that you understand that in their intentions to support you in your journeys, these domesticated animals very often help you when you have difficult times by absorbing some of the energies that you are experiencing that you do not know what to do with. As you live a life as a human, and you experience not merely the complexity of mind and the complexity of the processes of cognition and awareness, but I really want to say self-awareness, and the particular ability to analyze and to extract patterns and to see bigger pictures that the human mind is capable of not only organizing but also formulating into verbal communication. As you do that, you have chosen a particular kind of complexity as a lens through which to experience your journey here on Earth. These beings choose to come in and to support you in this. In other lives, these particular beings are your humans, and you are their dogs. You are their cats. You are their birds. And they now offer you support by helping you process energy. These beings have not thought themselves out of a connection to their physical bodies. These beings have not reasoned and rationalized themselves out of an appropriate and healthy relationship with the earth itself. even those that are traumatized, even those dogs and cats who are traumatized, are not as far away from their connection to their bodies and the earth as many, 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 many humans have become as they live through this lens of complexity they believe is their true identity. This reasoning faculty, this human mind, they believe makes them who they are. These animals will absorb difficult energies that the human cannot process. These animals will take on emotional burdens from you, from the humans they live with. Some of them will hold space for your process, differentiating between these two primary sorts of animals I'm speaking about today, cats and dogs. Dogs are more prone to absorb energy from you and on your behalf. The level of consciousness that is able to be expressed through the vehicle, through the lens of the dog physiology, is less complex in many ways than that of cats. One of the primary functions of this dog level of expressing consciousness, and I'm very clear, I do not wish to say their consciousness, I wish to say their level, their capacity, their level of being able to express their consciousness, because they are the same beings as you. They are the same kind of being. They possess the same consciousness that you do. They are also divine. They are God and goddess in particular vehicles. They simply cannot express it in the same ways that you might be able to. Because of their particular central nervous system, they are able to vibrate in a certain way through their embodiment that can help ground you. This is dogs in particular. That can help ground you. That can help you remember your body. They relate to you emotionally, energetically and emotionally. And they do not meet your intellectualisms with intellect. They meet you with love. Man's best friend is what you call them. When a being incarnates with the intention to support you as a dog, there is a certain level of that being willing to take energy on from you. You don't know how to process something. You do not know how to feel the entirety of what is on your emotional horizon, something that is coming or grief that comes up from a past experience. These beings are willing to feel that with you to lighten some of your burden. I tell you this for several reasons. One of the primary reasons is that you choose to evolve into better self-care, and that you choose to manage your energy better and to take responsibility for all that you experience and all that you are, and you learn more about yourself as a multidimensional being, so that these animals do not continue to absorb your burdens in quite the same way. They are supporting you in this, and yet as I teach this to you today, understand that for you to honor your part of the relationship is also to become aware of this and to evolve out of allowing yourself to haphazardly leave them your burdens. When we love another being, we become willing to take on what they are experiencing. Some of these animals are able to release this into the earth, and some of them are not. This is not your responsibility, but the evolution of yourself as a spiritual being, having an experience as an earthbound animal, does involve becoming conscious of these beings. Do not feel guilty that your dog has absorbed your emotional burdens, for example. Do not feel guilty. Do not feel any sense of shame that you have done this or that you have created a scenario where the animal has felt it necessary to overstretch some boundary and absorb your crap. Do not feel that way. Be grateful that it has happened when it has happened. And take this as a cue to lovingly respond to your own emotional needs in a way that alters your relationship with this animal. So the particular level of expression of consciousness possible through the vehicle of dog is very different from that of cat. That central nervous system, that instinctual nature, that set of drives and facilities, faculties, that cat possesses are very different. To some people, dogs seem loving but simple. They seem that way often to Seth, our vehicle today. And to him, the cats seem more intelligent. So I speak this teaching to also educate Seth. It is not that cats are more intelligent. It is that their wiring, the central nervous system of that particular sort of vehicle, operates differently. Because of this, the energies they are able to experience, traffic in, and support you in are different. There are many people who identify as quote-unquote dog people, and others who identify as cat people. This has to do with what they, the humans, need from some sort of being that is ever-present in their homes. If a person primarily needs emotional support, it is highly likely that dog will be preferable. This is not to judge these people for needing emotional support. It is simply part of their journey and a realistic assessment of what they do and do not need. If the person identifies as a cat person, there could be some emotional need in there, and yet it is also other things. Cats, their particular CNS level, their central nervous system architecture, and particular ways that the energy being housed in that vehicle can vibrate because of having that central nervous system. This is different, and they can handle other things. Cats are often seen traditionally in your stories, your histories, and your fairy tales as what are called familiars to magicians and witches. That idea is what I'm talking about. That truth, that reality, that people who traffic in energy in certain ways often are drawn to cats as opposed to dogs. Dogs are also very reactive to energy. They function as alarms, sometimes perimeter defense alarms, and that's part of their function, is an immediate response that is not as analytical. Cats are just a little different, but as they support people in managing their energies, they support people who are on spiritual paths. It does not mean that people who are on spiritual paths would never have a dog or would always have a cat. That is not what I'm saying. But the particular needs that a human might have will, at any given time in their lives, given the evolutionary chapter that is unfolding and that is coming next, will highly likely lead to a different sort of animal, one or the other. When cats are in our lives, the general truth is that they will also help us ground. They will also help us come into more consciousness of ourselves as physical beings and present us with the opportunity to forget less, or to less frequently forget, that we are physical beings, you know, energetic beings having these physical experiences. They tie us to our body as well, as dogs do. Cats are able to function differently and relate differently to our level, the human level of consciousness. A cat will be able to hold space for you to shift consciousness. A cat will be able to bridge certain dimensions on your behalf, in order that you become more comfortable being multidimensional. A cat will respond in complex ways to energetic stimuli, where a dog's responses tend to be more limited. and more clear, more clearly delineated. A cat will interact with a stimulus and react to it, and it is not always a loud response that is simply an alarm function that something might be wrong because energy is here. Cats can, of course, be reactive, but that is not the primary function. Cats are able to recognize, often without a negative reaction, beings that are not incarnated. While the dog would react, notice it, and perhaps react in a very active, aggressive way, whether that is a defense response, defensive, or a flight and fear response. The dog will react in specific, clear, unfoggy ways, very clear ways. The cat will be able to interact with, for example, beings that are not incarnated. The cat, therefore, it is possible for a cat to support someone as he or she learns to communicate with the dead, with aliens, with angels, with ascended masters, with their own spiritual guidance team, whomever makes that up, whatever kinds of beings might be on that team. Cats are able to hold space. They are able to ground a frequency that you are able to carry. Now, as you learn to do that, the cat, by being in the same home, and often when you are meditating, when you are channeling, a cat will come sit next to you, if not touching you. That cat desires to be of service to you in your evolutionary process, in your growth as a spiritual being. You, in learning to tune the dial, think of a radio dial, in your process of learning to tune that dial to find certain stations. This station is dead people. This station is my spirit team. This other station is an archangel who can help me. This other station, you know, is an ascended master of one kind or another. And that cat will be able to come to you and hold space for that frequency, essentially so that you can come to remember that frequency. The cat will act as a grounding cord for you to learn to tune into specific frequencies. This has to do with your intention. This has to do with your evolutionary process. The cat is not your teacher. The cat is not the one driving the process. You know, the animal is not the instigator of your evolution. The animal, this other being, holds space for you to unfold in the way that you need to. So that is the difference between dogs and cats. The next thing I will speak about is the particular relationships that you have with these animals that live with you. You are a portion of divinity, a soul traveling through many lives in order to learn what it is to be here. And you have asked other beings to be your teachers. These other beings are humans, they are animals, and they are spirit guides. The other beings in the form of cats and dogs, as I mentioned earlier, you have contracts at the soul level based in love in order to support each other in your evolution. Just as at the soul level you have asked your parents to bring you in and train you about how to be a human and condition you, you have asked these other beings, these animal beings, to come in to support you in whatever chapter of evolution you are seeking, you are experiencing in your unfolding as a divine being having this physical human experience. They have asked you to be their teacher as well. These contracts exist because of love, because the divine, in its experience of coming to know itself, needs the other portions of itself to know itself. These agreements are all sourced in love. It is often easier to understand that in terms of our domesticated pets than in terms of our family members, where relationships can be rocky and confused and multi-layered and difficult to deal with and live with. With animals, it is often very much easier to understand that the basis of the relationship is categorically, undeniably, love. These beings agree to come into your life for a certain period of time in order to support you in whatever way they can, given their technologies of embodiment and given your needs. And also the same thing, they ask you to fulfill a certain karmic education for them to help them learn something, given your particular CNS technologies and theirs and how they differ. It is not a one-way street. You are teaching them, you are loving them, as they are loving you and teaching you. It is very important to come to understand what these lessons that they are here to teach you are about. Sometimes it is as general as, I'll never let you forget you're embodied, because my body loves sitting in your lap, and that keeps you in your body, keeps you conscious of your physical vehicle and its connection to the earth. Sometimes it is as simple as, I will never let you forget that you're loved. Other times it is a little more complex, and this is what I want to get to here. The varieties of contracts that you have with these individual beings, this variety is mirrored in the variety that you experience with other humans. The karmic ties you have with other humans, you know, where you recognize, I know this person, we have business. I can't shake the feeling that I know this person or that there is an important dynamic for us to happen, something like this. It is the same with these animals. You know these animals as individual beings, both as animals and as humans in other lives. And in other lives, you might serve as their animals, their domesticated pets, while they serve as your human teachers. This is an incredibly rich tapestry of possibilities that you have all experienced together. So the first thing is to appreciate, to understand, and to have gratitude for the fact that these beings are just like you and that you have karmic contracts with them. You are teaching them as they are teaching you, and that all of these teachings are based in love. They are just like people that you feel connected to. They are just like you. You have particular relationships, particular love histories with various beings. Some of them come to you in this life as humans, siblings, lovers, teachers, mentors, children, your own children, your offspring. Some of them come to you as your pets, and even your friends' pets, and your children's pets, and your parents' pets. There's a wide variety of this. It is woven into a complex web of karmic relationships. Seth is laughing inside because the complex web that a human has to deal with other humans can be quite enough, he thinks. And when you add in this complex, this other layer of animals, it even makes it more complex. But this is the truth of it. This is how it works. There are particular tasks, there are particular things that need to happen in these relationships to fulfill the karmic contracts. I do not tell you all of this so that you search for what these situations will be. What is it that I'm supposed to learn from my cat? Just go about your business, live your lives, and open up to what that might teach you. What these beings have to teach you specifically about your individual karmic dynamics with them. Do not worry about this. When these teachings are done, when you have fulfilled your contract, and this other being feels fulfilled in the contract you have together, the relationship will in one way or another end. I want to speak to you about how to understand the presence and then the absence of a pet. Whether that pet passes away, either via illness, old age, or an accident of some sort, or disappears. I want you to be able to ground into the truth that these beings come when you need them, when they need you, and they go when that need is met, when those two needs are mutually met. This is the same as your relationships with humans you are connected to. People come and people go. People are born when they need to be, and they pass away when they need to, when their chapter of that life and their soul's journey is complete. It is important that we be and remain willing to grieve the loss of our loved ones, and yet because these particular kinds of pets do not live anywhere near as long, you know, their lifespans, their normal lifespans are not as long as the normal human lifespan. We, almost all of us who have pets at one time or another, must deal with grieving the loss of them. Understand that the contract is complete, and that animal came when you needed that animal to be there. When a pet leaves, whether in running away, finding a new home, or in passing away, a chapter in your life is complete. If you are listening to this because if you have a special relationship with animals, and you have had animals that you have lost in one way or another, think back whether this loss was recent or whether it was a long time ago in your life. Think back to that loss. Think back to what was happening in your life while that pet was there, whether that was several months, several days, or several decades. Look at what was going on in your process of unfolding and understand that that was a chapter. That pet showed up when you needed to learn something. And when you learned it, that pet left. This channel, Seth had a cat for 3 years. And this cat came in at a time when it was time for Seth to wrap up a number of karmic relationships that had not gone well, to learn how to resolve karmic difficulties between people in close family and love relationships, where focusing on love as the glue that enabled the contract to be written in the first place was difficult. And for 3 years and 3 days, this cat, who was a wife of Seth's in another life, was ever present in order to inspire him to remember their relationship existed because of love. Seth felt nagged, and yet it was his challenge to remember the love. And as he progressed with our support and assistance and the support and assistance of other beings with whom he works, as he was able to become more conscious of himself as an energetic being and be able to sense into these particular relationship dynamics, the karma between people and between people and animals, he was able to understand that what was left out of their dynamic that was an outstanding issue in their contract was unconditional love. And as soon as he decided that that was what he was going to give this animal being, with whom he had a frankly contentious relationship, a very difficult, stress-filled relationship, the cat found a new home. A client who came to his house fell in love with the cat, and essentially they went off together. An agreement was made because Seth was ready to live alone and not have a being living with him. So the cat moved on. When this chapter is complete that this being has signed on to support you with, that being will go away. Deal with your loss. Deal with the grief, whether it's running away or a death. Deal with your grief and accept the truth that that animal was present for you while you needed him or her. And when you were done, when you no longer needed that particular teacher, that teacher went away. The timing of a death or loss of a pet is always perfect. The timing fits with your journey and fits with that being's journey. Learn to accept this truth. Choose, open to accept these truths as you grieve and let go. And understand that the next animal that finds its way into your home has also a lesson to teach you, as you have to teach that animal. It is very common for people to feel that animals, their pets, their particular pets, have found them and not the other way around. It was the case for Seth when he met that cat being. It is the same for many people. So let us choose to recognize these truths and to accept these teachers for what they are and to allow these relationships to evolve into whatever it is that each being needs to learn. I'd like to leave you with the reiteration that these beings are exactly like you. These beings are the same as you. If you have something to teach and they have something to learn, they have something to teach and you have something to learn. While it is not always obvious what these teachings are, the fact is there is a teaching. Many times when we have karmic relationships with people, resolving these tensions, resolving these perceptions of energetic / emotional, which are love, credit and debt from the past, which is how I speak through Seth about what karma is, the perception of energetic credit and debt, energy being emotion. Resolving karmic ties invariably comes down to loving others in the ways that you did not love them in the past. However the karmic contracts are, so to speak, worded, the truth is that they are held together with love, and they cannot be completed until love is the response between the two people. It is the same with these animal beings that are your pets. Again, it is easier to understand this glue of love, the glue of these relationships being love, when it comes to an animal, because there is less layered complexity than with some other people in your lives with whom you have intense karmic ties. Thank you.